Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 11th of July. We will begin by reading some verses from Hebrews 11. Now faith is confidence on what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together, with us, would they be made perfect. And here are the verses of our meditations this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Among the reactions we heard more than a year ago to the onset of the health crisis, I cite three examples. Firstly, in March 2021, this word was heard in France, spoken by our president, Macron. We are at war, a health war, of course. The enemy is there, invisible and progressing. And coming from Canada, this reaction noted in April 2020. On the front line, people face the threat and try to reduce it, to stop it by treating the sick. We are in a campaign against an invisible invasion, with fighting taking place in hospitals, nursing homes, in the political arena and in our homes. And finally, another speech in Germany. There was no challenge for our country, which depends so much on our common solidarity. While the vocabulary adopted is not always warlike, it shows that the struggle will be bitter and very long, and that it will require the support of all. And certainly it's not over yet. It still takes patience and perseverance. The text of this message also says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Of course, the Epistle to the Hebrews does not speak of encouragement and inducement to endure and survive the pandemic and the measures to contain it, which demand a lot from us. But it is about faith. Nevertheless, the reflections in this letter can also help us in our situation. The recipients of the Epistle are tired, tired of having to fight for their faith. It's difficult to persevere. There is resistance. There is ridicule. There is disdain. There is failure. There is the daily work. There is a constant struggle. The author of the book of Hebrews takes stock by referring to very ancient events. There are many things that you had to survive, that you went through and endured. The marathon of life teaches you a certain serenity. Experience matters that you have gained by surviving beyond all reasonable expectations. And if, after having noticed the intensity and the consequences of the ordeal, we review the beginning of the previous chapter, we find there, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. These words announce a definition of faith. Do not grow weary, don't get bored. Faith is like running a long distance. It takes endurance. This endurance you need to run a marathon, a long-term race. And there are times of drought. and that is why our epistle brings the cloud of witnesses into play. A cloud, a place where important data is stored, or of people who have lived with their trust in God, models to follow. Everything that has a rank and is named in the first part of the Bible is listed. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, to name a few, but also Sarah, who had a son in her old age, of Rahab, who helped the foreign scouts. Based on these stories and figures from the Old Testament, the book of Hebrews explains what faith enabled them to do. What they did was not obvious. It was not easy, nor frequent, nor obvious to others. On the contrary, it often took courage and persistence, endurance and patience. It is not easy. You have to put up with some shaking of heads, like today, with all the changes in life now or in the future in the face of the climate crisis or pandemic. One of the witnesses of the cloud, Noah, for example, I will name only him, was a model of faith. He saved creation, but the flood still happened. But these biblical fathers and mothers do not only belong to the cloud of witnesses, they can also be contemporaries. Often it was a person or two who taught us through their kindness and dedication, unconditional dedication at times, to be confident, to trust, no matter what, even though others perhaps could diminish our confidence in ourselves. We become, with our experience of life, with our wisdom, witnesses to those who live around us. We become witnesses to each other over and over again, patiently enduring what we are charged with, pursuing our path calmly and tenaciously, even if sometimes you have to know how to accept it, as calmness and tenacity can fluctuate. And then we can tell ourselves that we are here because others before us have walked the path with perseverance. Thanks to the faith of others, of those who came before me, and of those for whom I am a witness, I realize that I am situated in a great context of life, unlimited in space and time. I can remember Abraham and Sarah without having known them personally. I can replace myself in the common or collective memory and situate myself in the line of the children of God. The experience is personal, but this horizon extends far beyond because we are a people of witnesses. We are part of a people who provide us with support and structure, which give us the opportunity to move forward and look to the future. But that never means that everything was better in the past. Everything was better in the past is a reflex that is triggered by the present, when I no longer understand change, novelty. When I am afraid of something new, that thought of saying, everything was better before, makes me forget, very unfairly, that everything was far from being well before. For a long time in history, some have said over and over again, the Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus, and they committed murders because of that thought and words. Comparing the past and the present indiscriminately, while hoping to live better by copying the present identically from the past, involves risks. But neither is it about wiping out the past, whether it is ours or that of our predecessors. Looking back at the past shows us the cloud of witnesses, and with it the possibility of shaping the future, which is not a carbon copy of the past. Consider, for example, the stars in the sky. You'll admit it, the sky is not yet full. There is still plenty of room to give birth to stars to hang in the sky. For what God started in the beginning of time is far from over. It is not finished. Creation is not finished. The Creator is still at work, and we are workers in faith on the same site. One day, Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Imagine that we are in the crowd. We welcome Jesus as he enters the city. Remember, we prepare his way. We meet him. We cry out to him, Hosanna, Son of David. We tear off palm branches and throw them in his path. And then we forget about him. We are his disciples. We will eat and drink with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we will fall asleep. Stay here and watch with me, he reminds us, but we fall asleep. And then we'll deny him when he's condemned. We will run away and understand nothing. Sometimes this is what we experience in our time. Not only did the disciples not understand, but we also do not understand everything. We are afraid and we flee. It is part of the path of the Passion. And then there is the one who, with Jesus on the cross, will say, "Jesus, remember me when you come to reign. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus Christ is coming to Jerusalem because his kingdom and his creation are far from over. The world is not yet what it could be. We want a different world, a better world. God wants a better world, and for that he needs us. He goes to Jerusalem hoping to meet us there. He is going to Jerusalem to pick us up and take us with him. He goes to Jerusalem in the hope that we will not fall asleep this year, that we will not deny him this year, but that we will persevere under the cross before us. He is going to Jerusalem in the hope that we will succeed in being those people to be remembered, people who will be fondly remembered, people whom one will meet in the cloud of witnesses, the people whom God will remember when he comes to his kingdom. Yes, there is this reference to the cloud of witnesses in the epistle. And let us also remember this exhortation. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who opened for us the path of faith and who brings it to perfection. Sometimes we are tired. Tired. It's hard to hang on in these conditions. And there is this incredible encouragement to dare to believe. Our fellows need us. The world needs us. God needs us, because without us there is no future. God chose to need us. Let's not forget. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Let us pray. Lord, good and merciful God, remember us. We find ourselves in the midst of a torn world. We see war and despair, hunger and misery, the homeless and disease that brings death. Give us the strength not to look away. May we keep in mind the cloud of witnesses passing through our sky, so that we remember that we can help build this world. Lord Jesus Christ, remember us when we begin to forget who we are and what you have made of us. Holy Spirit, you, the power that moves everything, remind us that everything is connected to everything. You are the breath of all living things. By your breath you give life. Almighty Lord, three times holy, you are the foundation of all being. Remind us that it is not only for ourselves that we live, but first of all to give you glory and to be witnesses of your love, your fidelity and your mercy in this world. Amen.